theme this morning. We're going to begin in verse number 7, read down. We're just looking at the second half of Psalm chapter 19. And I sat amazed this morning as Brother Miller taught on from Psalm 119, because Psalm chapter 19 is nothing more than a precursor for Psalm 119. It's a shorter psalm, but it's about the Word of God. And as he was preaching, I sat there and thought, well, you know, great minds work alike. To which I've always heard someone say, feeble minds work alike too. So we'll just leave that up to God, and he can decide. But I believe it was of the Lord that we just both happened to be on a lesson and a message that's about the Word of God this morning. And I want to begin reading in verse number 7 of Psalm chapter 19. If you would follow along in your Bible as I read aloud Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 7. The Bible says this, and we know, many of us know these first few verses as a lyric or a song. But verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." The Bible goes on to say in verse 11, "Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we are so thankful for all that our ears have already heard here this morning and in Sunday school, and now even in this service as this family has sung for us and God ministered in song. And our hearts have been lifted up, and I pray, God, for the next few moments that you will use your word to continue to speak to us. Father, to challenge us, to comfort us, and if necessary, to convict us. And that, God, we might understand the great riches and treasures of your word that you have delivered into the hands of human beings. We're thankful for that. We're thankful, God, that all that we know about you comes through this book. And that, Father, we're not left to the whim and the fancy of opinions of men. But, Father, we have a final authority. We have somewhere we can rest our beliefs and our faith. And that's the precious Word of God. We pray this morning, should there be one in our midst that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, God, today you would speak to that heart. Show them their need for Christ. Show them their lighthouse, their rescue place, that Christ died for their sins, that they might have forgiveness and have eternal life. And Father, for the work that you do in each and every heart, we'll give you the praise and the glory this morning in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Here in Psalm chapter 19, we see really two things. I'm going to kind of fast forward past the first seven verses, the first six verses. But in verse 1 to 6, we see God revealing himself in the sky. God revealing himself in the sky. And if we had time to read the first six verses, you would understand that God, the Bible says in verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Folks, you and I can rest on the authority of the Word of God, the true, accurate history, that this world was spoken to existence by an amazing God in six literal 24-hour days. In six evenings and six mornings, God created everything that you see in this world, and the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Recently, I picked up a book that it's not a new book, but it's called The First 3 Minutes. And it's a book by a Jewish man, Steven Weinberg, and he wrote it back in 1977, and in fact received the Nobel Nobel Prize for biology or something, I forget what it was, in 1979 for that very book. And as I look through that book, it talks about the first 3 minutes of the origin of what we know as our universe. And it talked about the extreme heat, the degrees, and it was 10 to the 11th power Kelvin was the temperature that supposedly happened at the Big Bang, which is 250,000 times the heat of our sun right now. And supposedly this 400 million degrees Celsius heat was the beginning and the origin of everything that you and I see and everything that we know that's in the world today. That is supposed to be the beginning. And in that book, it postulates theory after theory after theory based on the theory of evolution. And it just amazed me as I read through that, you know, scientists think, and this may have, and this might have. I read all that stuff, and I just thought, you know, I wouldn't trade that for anything for the Word of God. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it doesn't have to say, we think this, and it might have happened that way. And then once they establish that theory, come off and spin off with all these different theories, the Bible simply says that in the beginning, God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Isn't it just much easier to believe God than to try to figure out all the... There was a little Greek symbol in there, and I'm not a good Greek guy, but there's a little Greek symbol in there, and I looked at that and thought, okay, what in the world? I don't know what all that means, but I'm thankful I've got something I can put my eyes on every day that tell me exactly everything I need to know. As Brother Miller said, it is our operator's manual. It gives us all the guidance we need in this life, and it's right there in front of us. God reveals Himself... Or God revealed Himself in the skies in verse 1 to 6. And then where we're looking this morning, verse 7 to 14, God reveals Himself in the Scriptures. Everything you know about God that's true and that's right comes from that book right there. I don't care who you said proposed something about God. Well, we think God is this and we think God is that. If it doesn't line up with that book right there, it's wrong. It doesn't matter who is pronouncing it. It doesn't matter who is declaring it. Because that book tells us everything we need to know about God, and everything it tells us is sufficient. If it does, you know, a lot of times, you know, us deep theological Bible students, we want to know things that God didn't tell us. Well, where did this come from, and where did that happen? Well, if God thought that was necessary, He would have told us that. What I have found is there's enough in there to keep us busy in this lifetime, and God will show us the rest when we get to heaven. But God has revealed Himself in the Scriptures. I want you to notice two things this morning in verse 7 to 14. First of all, the virtue of the Word. Look at verse 7 to verse 9, and I want you to catch some phrases. Now, the Word is referred to in verse 7 as the law of the Lord. You understand, the law of the Lord is Scripture. It's the Bible. It says, the testimony of the Lord in verse 7. Again, the testimony of the Lord is the Bible. Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord, that's the Bible. And the commandment of the Lord, that's the Bible. So four different phrases are used to explain, and we don't have time to go into the different phrases and how they cover a different aspect of the Bible, but those four together are basically all referring to the Bible. But I want you to see the virtue of it. Notice some words if you would. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is, underline this, perfect. The virtue of the Word. The law of the Lord is perfect. Let's go on. The testimony of the Lord is sure. I've underlined that in my Bible. We've got perfect and sure. Verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Now, I'm having you notice these words because we're going to go somewhere in just a moment. I want you to get these words down. We've got perfect, we've got sure, we've got right. The end of verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. So in that verse, we've got perfect, we've got sure, verse 8, we've got right, we've got pure, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In those three verses, we've got seven different terms that all refer to the virtue of the Word of God. Those words, perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, righteous. The Bible tells us that's what the Scriptures are. That's not hard to understand. The first and last words of those seven are two-syllable words. That's not too big of a challenge, is it, for anybody here? The rest of them, the middle five, are single-syllable words. You know, people say, well, the Bible's hard to understand. No, it's not. No, it's not. Quit repeating something you've heard somebody else say. And simply sit down and read it. Well, we need it modernized. We need it in a new... No, you don't. It's exactly like God wants it right there. And if you don't understand pure and perfect and sure and right, you've got more problems than just needing a modern or updated Bible. You need to go back to school. The Bible's very clear. It's very precise. It's very exact. And the words it uses are exactly the words God wants us to get. Notice those words. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, righteous. That's what God wants us to focus on. He wants us to focus on those things that are right and pure and true and righteous. You say, why? Because God knows our nature. See, God knows you better than I know you. And aren't you glad? You don't want me to know you like God knows you. And God knows me better than you know me. And boy, am I glad. Because I don't want you to know me the way God knows me. Because you know what we know, by the Word of God? Every one of us is wicked and corrupt by our nature. You don't do bad things by accident. You do bad things because it comes from a bad source. All right? David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He wasn't talking about some illicit affair. He was talking about the very fact that when we're born with a corrupt and wicked nature. I did the burial for Cassie's dad the other day down near Athens down there, and we talked about when this corruptible shall put on incorruption. See, this body is corrupted. From the minute we're born, this body's corrupted. We don't want to think about it when we look at the young infant or baby, but we're born into corruption, and it's just a matter of time before that corruption wears out and dies. We're unclean by our nature. Then we're put down into this world, which on top of the nature that's in us puts us in an unclean environment, and we're in trouble. How are we going to get something that's clean? How are we going to get something that's pure? How are we going to find something that's righteous? You're not going to find it on the radio station. You're sure not going to find it on the television station. I don't care what you watch. You're not going to find it in newspapers and magazines. There's only one thing that you can bank your life and your soul on that's going to be pure and righteous and clean and true altogether, and that's the Word of God, because it has all the virtue that we need. I want you to keep your place there. I want you to go over to the New Testament. I want you to look at a familiar verse, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. One of the reasons I say, and I've said it so often, is get this music that's out here in the lobby, because you want music that's not going to corrupt you. I am always astounded at good, sincere, God-loving Christian people that are still entrapped by the world's music, that are still enthralled by whoever the star is and the big singer is out there right now. Can I tell you, they're all corrupt people singing a song that's corrupt. And none of it's going to do us any good. We need to get something that's pure and righteous and holy and godly. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, you know the verse number 8, look at it. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi by inspiration of God, says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, now here's our words, let's underline them, whatsoever things are true. Isn't that interesting? Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the things that are listed in verse number 8 do not identically match the things back in Psalm chapter 19. I'm not trying to propose that. But they're awful close. They're awful similar. Those words, perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous, the words good report, just, honest, lovely, pure, and true are very, very similar and very, very close, because God gave us something that is exactly what He wants us to think about. He said we're to meditate on it day and night. The preacher preached in Sunday school about reading our Bible every day. And that's a wonderful thing to do, because it will focus our mind on something that's clean. Focus our mind on something that's right. You know what the Bible is? The Bible, if I could say it this way, is a stress reliever. You know, you see the people with the balls and they're, you know, all at work and they're scrunching the ball up and letting it go. Why? Well, I'm trying to relieve stress. You know what will do something for you better than that? Is that book right there. Because when you sit down with that book in your lap in the morning or in the evening back home where you're at or whatever during the time of day, and you sit down, there's just something, there's a peace that passes all understanding that comes over you when you read that word. You know how the world's in such a mess as it is? Well, it's without God. And because it's without God, it's without the Bible. And without the Bible, you can't have clearness of thought. Without the Bible, that's why you're going to say, well, we've got a theory that spins off all these different theories. When you are without the Bible, you don't have pureness and righteousness and holiness and honesty. There's the virtue of the Word. You and I need to be into the Word of God, because we need the Bible. We need the Bible to keep us away from the wickedness that's in this world. There's not a day that don't go by you don't pick up the paper and read, even in a small community like we're in Guernsey County. You pick up the Daily Jeffersonian, the front page is about someone being robbed or a drug bust or a meth bust or drunkenness or something along that line. That's the culture we live in right now. And the only thing that can save us from that is God through His Word. There's the virtue of the Word. Then I want you to see secondly this morning. Aren't you glad I'm doing the condensed version? Verse 10 to 14, I want you to see the value of the Word. The virtue of the Word, it's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true, and it's righteous. Then the Bible tells us about the value of the Word. Notice what it says in verse number 10. More to be desired are they. What are they? Well, again, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. More to be desired are they, the Scriptures, than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. I was driving the other day. I don't know what it was. The advertisement came on, and it was about the cost of gold. The Chinese are buying up all the gold. That's what the radio program said. Of course, it was being put on by somebody that was selling gold. And he was trying to convince me that the Chinese are buying up all the gold so they can corner the market, so we need to go out and buy gold because it's going to skyrocket. Now, I'm not here to debate the rate of gold and what's going to happen, but you know what the Bible says? More to be desired are they than gold. Far above the value of gold, whatever the rate might be, are the words of the living God. Because they're pure and they're clean and they're honest and they're righteous altogether. That's the value. Not only more than gold, but he said, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, we're in our culture here in America, we're not real big on honey. Some folks are. But there's nothing much sweeter to the taste than honey. I remember back in the days of the Marines when we would go down and have a big PT coming that morning. We were going to go out and do some exercise. The drill instructors would be at, this was in basic training, they'd be at the bottom of the stairway, and all 72 of us as they came down would get a spoonful of honey before we went out. That's what they gave us as we're going out because they said the value was in it. It was instant sugar and instant pick-me-up and the thing back in that day. Nobody even thought twice about it, but they used the same spoon for all 72 guys. I don't know about the nutrition I got in the honey, but I'm wondering about some other things I might have gotten. We all scrambled to be first in line going down the stairs. That was the way to do it. But the psalmist said, sweeter also, the words of God are sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, this morning as I speak about these things, I wonder how they hit your heart. Do they hit the heart in a way that you say, oh, preacher, you're right. Well, everything you're saying from the Bible, I know it's right because I've felt it in my soul. I know how precious the Word of God is. I know how valuable. I know the valleys it's brought me through. I knew the hard times it's helped me through. I know the comfort it's given me when I needed it. I know the convicting it's given me when I need it. I know that. I hope your heart, as you hear this morning, your heart just says, yes, I know by experience what you're saying is true. I know about the value of the Word. I know how important it is and how I couldn't live it. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But maybe as I preach it this morning, you say, what's the big deal? I've lived so long without the Bible. I'm not against it, but I've never really thought much about it. You're missing out. You're missing out on the value and you're missing out on the virtue of the Word of God. Notice in verse number 10, he said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's the preciousness of the Word. More valuable than gold, sweeter than honey. Then in verse number 11, we read about the protectiveness of the Word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You know what the Bible is? It's a warning sign for you and I. It tells us what path not to take. It tells us what direction not to go. And oh, isn't it a blessing that the God of creation, the all-wise and all-knowing God, decided to put down in black and white on pages for you and I a GPS, if you would, a map, a road guide, so that we would know what direction not to go. When you go the wrong direction, you're in trouble. You don't get where you're planning to go. Or you lose a lot of time getting there. And a lot of folks in life have taken a wrong direction. They've gone somewhere they never intended on going. And many times they went there and got it straightened out and got in a better direction later, but they paid for the time that they were on the wrong road. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says the Bible will protect us because it will warn us. If we can be warned by the Word of God, we won't have to worry about the dangers and the snares and the traps that this world so easily puts in our way. But we've got to be warned. By them is thy servant warned. Why should you read your Bible every day? Because you want that warning. Warnings are not negative. Warnings are not negative. You know, people say, well, you know, you can't do this, and thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not that. That's not negative. That's protective. God knows the hardships that come with those things. God's been around for a long time, and even back all the way back in Exodus chapter 20 when he gave the Ten Commandments, he watched the children of Israel, he watched society for that time, and he said, here's his top 10 list of things that men needed to stop doing if they wanted the blessings and the benefits of God. And our modern society would do the same thing because the Word of God is protective. It's precious. The end of verse 11, and in keeping of them there is great reward. It's profitable. In keeping of them, there is great reward. In Sunday school, we heard, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's a great reward in walking in the light of the Word of God. There are so many different theories in life, so many different opinions of everything under the sun. And now in our computer age, with the technology that we've got, you can sit down on Google or Yahoo or whatever it is and type in any subject you want to, and at your very fingertips, in an instant, in no time at all, you're going to have all the information in the world you want to have. But if you could take all the information that's wherever it is stored on, whatever cloud it's stored on out there, if you could take all the information in the world and condense it down to one little thing, it wouldn't be near as valuable as what you've got right there. Because it's a light, it's a lamp, it's protective, it's a treasure that will help you, it's profitable. Notice in verse number 12, why is it profitable? Well, it's profitable because it will convict you. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? You know, when the preacher preaches the Word of God, you know me, if you've been here long enough, you know I don't stand up here necessarily and nail particular things. I don't talk about individual things on a whole. But I'll preach what the Word of God says. And it's amazing. I've had people come and say this to me, preacher, you preached that sermon last Sunday and you were looking right at me. And you were pointing right at me. Now, I just pointed in two different directions, not at anybody specific. But I've had people come and say, you preached that message right at me. You know what? I had no clue I was preaching it to that person. But God did. And the Bible says that the Word of God helps us to understand our errors. I've learned this, Brother Miller. I've learned that if I aim at somebody, it never hits them. If I'm a bad shot, I guess is what it is. If I want to preach right at somebody about some particular thing, it won't come within 100 miles of them. But if I simply preach the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God do His job, He nails people every time. And that's what the Word of God do. It will help us to understand our errors. Do you know that whoever it is that's in this group that's been saved the longest, now I don't know who that would be. You've been saved 60 years, 70 years, whatever it might be. You know that person that's been saved the longest, I got a newsflash for you. They still have errors. They still have faults. I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's nobody in this room this morning that's perfect and sinless. If you think you are, you've got pride, and pride's a sin. You just shot yourself down. So we're all in the same boat here, and we all need the Word of God to reveal to us. When I first got saved 30-something years ago, I had a whole lot of sin to clean up. Right now, it's not near as bad as it was back then, but I haven't arrived yet. Even if I do get a doctor's degree today, you say, well, that'll take care of everything. That won't do anything. It'll be the same sinful guy that looks in the mirror tomorrow morning. It doesn't change that. And you and I need the Word of God as a mirror, Paul said, to reveal to us so that we can understand, that we can be convicted. Why is the Word of God profitable? Because it convicts. Verse number 12, cleanse thou me from secret faults, because it cleanses. Not only does the Word of God convict, I'm glad when somebody shows you what's wrong. You know, a lot of folks want to tell you what's wrong. Well, preacher, I don't think you're doing this right. Okay, what's the right way to do it? Well, I don't know, but that's not the right way. I'm glad the Word of God convicts me and then cleanses me. It tells me what's wrong and then gives me the cleansing and the forgiveness that I need. We get the washing of the water by the Word. And the Bible cleanses us. You know, we need cleansing. We need purification. You're not going to get it from the Bysville water system. They're having a lot of trouble with that right now. We shampooed after that big flood, the big rainstorm we had a couple weeks ago. John was down in the team room and he used water. We got because the water got into the carpet and it got all smelly and dirty down there. So we went out and rented one of those carpet cleaners, and John got down there and cleaned the carpet. And when he was done, after using the water from the sink downstairs, the carpet looked worse after he cleaned it than it did before he started. There were brown streaks going up and down from the water that he used. So we got to go back and use some store-bought pure water to do it. You know, the Word of God never has a problem like that. It's pure. It's clean. It cleanses. A lot of folks don't want anything to do with that because they don't want to be clean. They don't want to be convicted. But the Word of God will do that. It's profitable because it convicts. It cleanses. Notice verse 13. It controls. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. The Word of God will control you. It will harness you. It will keep you back from presumptuous sin. You say, what's presumptuous sin? Well, sin is a sin. A presumptuous sin is a sin that's not premeditated. Not premeditated. See, some of the sins we fall into, we think about ahead of time. We're tempted about it, and we know about it, and we yield to it. That's a premeditated sin. But a presumptuous sin is something that we just react to. Some allurement comes our way. We don't see it coming ahead of time, and it comes our way, and before we even have time to think, we've already given into it. But if you've read your Bible that morning, and the morning before, and the morning before, and the morning before, you know, it's kind of like lifting weights. You don't get up one day and lift weights and turn into Superman. You've got to do it day after day after day after day. And when it comes to the Word of God, you can't just read it in the morning and say, okay, that'll do me for the next week or so. You've got to get it every single day. And when you get it in there, the Bible says, the psalmist said, when he does that, it will keep back his servant from presumptuous sin. That sin that you didn't see coming, that you didn't know was around the corner, when it confronts you, you'll have the strength and grace to say no to it if you've got the Word of God. It's profitable. Lastly, verse 14. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's profitable because it corrects. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You know what the Word of God will do? It'll correct your behavior. It'll correct your conversation. It'll improve your character. It'll do all those things because it corrects us. The Bible said it makes the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart acceptable in His sight. I don't know whose sight you want to be accepted in. You want to be accepted in your peers? You're going to talk like they talk. You're going to tell jokes like they tell jokes. You're going to behave like they behave. You want to be acceptable in the sight of God? You're going to talk like He wants you to talk. You're going to behave like He wants you to behave. You're going to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. You say, how do I do all that? Preacher, how do I do that? It's very easy. By the words of His mouth. The commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord. They're perfect, they're sure, they're right, they're pure, they're clean, they're true, they're righteous. And they give us the ways of eternal life. What value does the Bible have in your life this morning? Is it simply, as we say so often, is it simply a nice good-sized book that sits on the coffee table that you shove all the wedding announcements and death announcements into? Or is it a part of your life each and every day? It's the greatest earthly treasure this world has ever seen. Nothing else comes close to it. People have tried to ban it. They've tried to burn it. They've tried to exterminate it. They've tried to get rid of it. And the word of the Lord endures forever. The value and the virtue of the word of God. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.